He needs enough money.
I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. We'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
My pleasure. Would you please rise, place your hand over your heart, and follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
We do have a couple of announcements in closed session. The board, by unanimous roll call vote, passed resolution number 2017-18/12, non-reelection of probationary certificated employees, and authorizes the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notices. The board, by a roll call vote of 6-4 and 1 against, passed resolution number 2017-18/13, release non-reelection of temporary, including probationary, 0, certificated employees, and authorizes the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notices. Voting for the resolution were members Allison, Fleury, Scott, Boom, Davis, Rasmussen. Voting against the resolution was member Crawford. The board, by unanimous roll call vote, passed resolution number 2017-18/14, release of administrator for the 2018-2019 school year, and authorizes the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notice. Next, we'll have our student presentation by Kathy Vang. Kathy? Thank you very much, Kathy. Next, we have a presentation, Youth in Ag Grants.
Good evening. We're delighted to be here to present some grants to South Lyndhurst, Lyndhurst, and Marysville High School from Youth in Ag, which is a 501c3 organization that supports agriculture endeavors in young people, and the three grants we're giving today are due to applications that were given to us through your staff members, which we're delighted to be able to fund. Would you like to come up, and we'd love to present them to you? Yeah. The first presentation we have is to Marysville High School, and that's a check in the amount of $3,500.
Wow.
And we have a check for $1,300 to Southlandhurst. And we have a check for $1,000 to Lyndhurst High School. Information about youth and ag if you're interested in it, and I'm happy to leave these here for board members or anyone who might want to know more about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next we have our school report for Annie McKinney Intermediate School.
Good evening. Some of you may not know me in the back here. My name is Tom Ressler. I'm fortunate enough to be principal at McKinney School. Sitting next to me here behind me is my trusty sidekick, Mr. Joe Seiler. And if you want to know a little bit more about Mr. Seiler, come to the, is it the Rusty Spittoon or whatever it is? Joe has, I believe that with his performance, he will win a Tony Award. And I'm excited about that performance. So, plus I have to give him a bad time because I'm gonna have him talk to and I'll probably get nervous. So, anyways, I just wanna say it's great to be able to come here and present about my school. Not always do principals get that opportunity in districts where I've worked, and so this is a neat thing, and I appreciate the opportunity. I will say a little bit about me here in Marysville. Some key things that I wanted to just mention is the atmosphere of the workplace, both at the school site level and the district level, is absolutely amazing. I cannot speak more about how well this district works. Even though every district has problems, I'm not gonna say that it's unicorns and rainbows, but it is an amazing place, and I really have enjoyed my time here so far. The kids at McKinney are a great age group, and the staff gets along and works together, and that's really a neat thing. So I just wanted to, you'll see, if you saw it in your booklet, I put some of the things about McKinney, some facts, but I just want to highlight some of those. This year and last year, I guess McKinney has had a counselor, and our counselor this year has done some pretty amazing things. She's expanded our groups. So we have, not only is she working with schedules like a lot of counselors do in schools, she works with kids, individual groups, small group, larger groups. We have a Peace Out bullying group to help with bullying. We have a foster care support group that she runs. We have a bereavement group that she runs. And this one was kind of interesting. It's the CATS group. And I thought, well, what the heck is the CATS group? But it's creating a terrific self. So a little bit about self-esteem, helping kids through middle school, as we know, that sometimes are tough years. Another highlight is our parent-teacher club is pretty active. And this year, when we first started, I had discussed with them the possibility of starting a scholarship, which we did. And so we should be, at some point here shortly, getting applications from students that have promoted from McKinney going to Marysville that are going to go to some form of higher education, whether it be trade school or junior college or a four-year, and their $500 scholarship, and depends on how much money we earn this year at MPTO, maybe we could do more, so we'll see. So that's pretty cool. We added a sport in the fall, football. There was just to get more involvement. We haven't had flag football for many years at McKinney, so we added that. Our after-school tutoring is rolling. We go 4 days a week. We have MASH. I guess it's mandatory after-school help for eighth graders primarily so that they can make sure that their grades are up so that they can go to high school. And our PBIS is rocking and rolling. And I've dealt with PBIS in other districts and other schools, and I have not seen it work as well as at McKinney. So I asked Joe, or Mr. Seiler, excuse me, to come up and talk a little bit about our PBIS. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Seiler.
Thank you. I appreciate the time and the opportunity to speak in front of you guys. So PBIS is our Positive Behavioral Interventions and Support Program that we implemented in 2015-16 school year, our first year of full implementation. At that time, we had 307 days of suspension. The first thing we did is our team established behavioral expectations in all areas of the campus so that our kids knew what was expected of them as they went throughout their school day. We created comical videos to reinforce positive behaviors with staff and students. And we established Mustang cards to acknowledge the behaviors in those areas. 2016-17 school year, we had 242 days of suspension. It was down about 21% from the previous year. We created a tier two team that supports students with more severe needs. McKinney was acknowledged last year with the Silver Award, with state recognition. And we aligned our behavioral expectations vertically aligned with Marysville High School and Kynoch Elementary so that the kids, as they transition from year to year, have the behavioral expectations pretty dialed in at that point. Our current year, we are on pace for probably under 200 suspension days, which is down about 35% from the first year we started when we implemented PBIS. The Department of Education, or 5x5 accountability grid, ranked us as a significant decrease in suspension data, so we're pretty pleased with that information. We conduct weekly tier two meetings, myself, our school counselor, our school psychologist. We meet and we bring in data from SWIS, which we receive from our referrals, and we try to deliver the best possible interventions for each student individually. We have developed social skills group, bully group, counseling, conflict resolution, anger management, bereavement group, as Mr. Rusher stated. And our tier one team, we meet bi-monthly, and we are currently working on a color run to help bring in the community involvement. We are doing that in May, and we are currently working on creating new videos to updated videos with our eighth grade students, which will hopefully continue to influence in a positive direction with our younger students. And one of our strategies is a saturation week during testing where we pick a behavioral expectation, whether it be respectful, responsible, or healthy, and we hand out a bunch of our McKinney cards to try to reinforce those behaviors during our testing week. So we're happy with the progress and where it's going at this point.
So we have, every Monday, the McKinney News. So I have a little clip of the McKinney News. I didn't do the whole thing. But we have just the verbiage before we start showing video pieces of it or support. So this is the McKinney News.
Good morning, McKinney Mustangs. I'm Alejandra.
And I'm Donnie. Mustangs, our word of the week for this week is diligent. Diligent means constant in effort to accomplish something, attentive and persistent in doing anything. In other words, diligent means industrious, hardworking, continuous, or meticulous. Mustangs, how diligent are you at keeping up with your grades?
This Wednesday is an early release Wednesday. Make sure you show up to school on time. School starts at 7:47.
McKinney cards were drawn this week. Just a reminder from Ms. Velasquez, make sure you write your first and last name neatly on those McKinney cards, as well as your grade level. Here are the winners.
If your card was drawn, Ms. Velasquez will be visiting you during your advisory with the prize ticket. Make sure you turn it into the PBIS prize ticket bucket by Wednesday.
Mustangs, the library is looking for a select handful of readers that would like to preview some of the books that will be offered in our spring book fair. If you are interested, please see Ms. Washburn or Ms. Criddle in the library.
Mustangs, just a reminder that this Thursday, PTCO in the 6th grade will be sponsoring a spaghetti feed fundraiser. McKinney's band will be performing. Tickets for the spaghetti feed will be $4 per person. 5 and under are free. This fundraiser will run from 5:30 to 7:30 in the cafeteria. In addition to great food, there will be a raffle for 6th grade gift baskets. Mustangs, pass the word along to your parents.
In addition, that night is also the district spelling bee at Edgewater Elementary School. Three spellers from McKinney will represent the M-U-S-T-A-N-G-S. Our 6th grade will be represented by Deja Johnson, the 7th grade by Cassidy Mortensen, and the 8th grade by Jose Sanchez. Spelling Bee starts at 5:30. With Deja, Cassidy, and Jose, you need to be there early to register. Be there by 5. If you do not plan to attend the spaghetti feed, comment down to S-U-P-P-O-R-T, your fellow Mustang spellers.
Y'all ready for this?
Good morning, Mustangs. I'm Awani, and here's your Mustangs roundup for another week of Mustang Sports. Last week, we closed another season of boys basketball here at McKinney. It started on Tuesday with all three teams playing Bear River. Unfortunately, all three teams fell in defeat. 6th grade here and 10th and 8th grade in Wheatland. All three teams ended their regular season on Wednesday. The 6th grade started the action with a W against Paragon. Then the 7th and 8th grade took the court and both teams walked away with a victory. Finally, Coach Hutchinson and his 8th grade team participated in the 8th grade end of the season U Gardens tournament over the weekend. Mustangs, dust off your singlet and adjust your headgear because the next step for McKinney Sports is wrestling. Stay tuned to the news, announcements, and the PE board for more information.
This is Alejandra
and Ani reminding you to be respectful, responsible, and
healthy. So normally their mouths move the same time they talk, so I don't know why I did that here, but it works at school. So that is that's it for McKinney. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. So we have a teacher that I have that does it, and a handful of kids have asked to do it, and they're the ones that come in and they do it. Some kids can, but most haven't really wanted to. We're hoping to buy some more equipment and things to make it even better this next year.
Is there any other discussions or? Thank you very much, Mr. Russer. Mr. Seiler, thank you for all you do. Comments from the board members. Ms. Scott?
Hello to everyone today. I just wanted to say that I've been sort of busy this last couple of weeks. I attended the Spelling Bee at Edgewater, and it's always so good to see those little guys trying to make sure they can get their words right and to work so hard, and the staff that put that on together for them. I also had a chance to come and attend this school district. There was like a safety meeting here. Jolie put that together, I think, as well. And there was some briefing on school safety, and they had the sheriff that came out to do a little evaluation of the previous past incident at Lyndhurst High School. And I just know that, you know, I was a part of that Lyndhurst situation, and to go from that far back to where we are now, and I really do truly believe that our schools are so much safer here, and I know that we all try to take care of that situation at each individual school. And I thank you, Jolie, for being up on that. I also had a chance to go and visit South Lyndhurst as well. They have the WAS team there. And there was a committee there, and they were so really good to explain to us and brief us on the definition and of their selection process that they do. And it was very, very good to be able to see the things that that they're doing there as well. Mr. Jones, I really applaud him tonight for doing such an outstanding job. We also last Tuesday had a chance to visit the Children's Summit at Yuba College. I had a chance to meet Delaine Easton and a few of the other representatives here from our school area. Everybody's doing a fine job, working very, very hard to try to be about the children that we have, not just here at our school, but here in our community, and everywhere where there's an interest in children. So I just say that we're all in this together, and as long as we work hard and try to keep our prime interest on the children, I think that we're going to make it work. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Davis? Mr. Allison? Mr. Boom?
Yeah, kind of going on what Ms. Scott said, you know, with what's happened in Florida, a lot of constituents got some calls this week, got some emails to me, and Sheriff Durfer contacted me, which was nice of him. I did a lot of research. Dr. Todd helped me. You know, it's a bad situation, and there's some really goofy ideas floating around out there what we should do. But one of the good things is Assemblyman Gallagher is trying to put together a bill to get more resource officers in our schools. And so as a district, you know, from everything that I've looked at, talking to law enforcement and everything, that would be some place that we could back. And hopefully that in his bill, they're gonna try and come up with some kind of funding for these, because it's very expensive to do. But he's really looking at rural school districts, because a lot of the inner city districts have more officers on campus. And so anyway, so that's something as a district to make our schools safer that we could possibly get behind.
Thank you, Mr. Boom. Mr. Fleury?
I've got four things. First,
just move the switch up, Jim.
Move it up, buddy.
The four things, number one, attended the WASC at South Lyndhurst, and I was really impressed. I've been to several WASCs over the years, and when it used to be program quality review, I used to participate in those and be one of the members that went. And I was really impressed with the lead person, how she explained what the WASC was, what they do with the data, how they interpret the data, and it was the best explanation I've ever heard at one. And I admire David Jones and his staff for the report they put together for a small school and a lot of work. It took hours to put that together, and they have really added something new to the composition of the South Lyndhurst, and I applaud them for that. I enjoyed listening and being on that, and as one of the board members that went to that. The second thing was, Saturday night was the Policeman of the Year banquet put on by the Exchange Club, of which our former board president is the president of the Exchange. And listening to our law enforcement officers, we honor 10 enforcement officers every year that are picked by the people that they work with. And the stories, what they do for public safeties, are astounding. And that was attended by over 500 people. Dr. Todd was there, and people throughout the community. And we just don't realize till you go to those banquets. And next year, I'm going to get tickets for all of the board and invite you to that. You'll be amazed what our law enforcement officers do. Third thing was, I went to the safety meeting that Jolie hosted up with once a month, Jolie, right? And I was impressed. Sheriff Durfer was here. I mentioned before I had Sheriff Durfer when he was an eighth grader. And the integrity he had then is what I saw his year as a sheriff, and this is his last year, and he has done a great job as our sheriff. But he went through that what had happened at Lyndhurst, blow by blow, what we learned from the Lyndhurst, which is used not only locally but nationally as the first high school shooting they had. And it made you realize we are lucky that we have learned from it, and that we have in our district, we have Jolie and the people that work so well together. And it's a team approach, because we need to keep our kids safe, because we're living in a very troubled world now. And the fourth thing was the Child Summit at Yuba College. I went to that with a couple of other board members, and the county did a great job of putting that on. I heard a lot of comments about it, how they working as a team. They want to bring the county together and the resources together there and work better as a team, because the end result will be what our kids are. And one thing was that impressed me was Delaine Easton, who is running for governor and was superintendent of public instruction, gave an example how mentors made a difference in her life. And it was amazing. And I, you know, I firmly believe in mentors. I was lucky. I had one mentor. They had 12 kids, and I had time to be my mentor. I had six mentors, actually. And that's what people, kids need. They need mentors, someone just to talk to put ideas, just to listen to them. And so I think we need to really just be aware. Just sometimes a smile or a kind word goes a long way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Mr. Crawford.
School safety seemed to be the major topic in the last two or three weeks. I was invited to a meeting from Councilman Simmons from City of Marysville, and there were some crazy ideas floated out. You've probably heard them. I'm not going to get into that. My argument was MJUSD is the safest school district, thanks to Julian Catapult, and then East Nicholas, then Colusa, then Yuba City. So he asked me to prove it. So I took him, and we went on Monday last week at lunchtime, at, which you would consider a risky school at best, Cedar Lane. He could not believe the fencing, the video equipment, how we were approached immediately, who we were, did we sign in? He kind of got the full picture. And to top it all off, the one thing I did get caught with, I didn't get caught with, I immediately called the superintendent. They were, the big question was, you know, those doorknobs that the big silver ones that lock from the outside, but you don't unlock from the inside. Mm. And I called Gay immediately. She called Mrs. Simmons today, responded within an hour, and that's going to be rectified if we do have any left to wear it. What is it? What is it, Gay?
It's a safety latch.
Safety latch that switches. So I stand behind what I said to the council. I am very proud of the hard work you've done and the whole committee has done in making this the safest school district in the area, and I guarantee we'll continue to do that. And Mr. Boom has mentioned, I think, the rational approach. If you get a chance to read it, please do. I'm not going to get into any of the other arguments, but Marysville, you're talking to a man that has, will have in a couple years, three grandchildren in attendance in the school district, and they will be in this school district. And I do put priority, and we all put priority, safety at the highest level. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. I would like to say, too, that Dr. Todd does have an open door policy that if there's any community members that have any questions, just give her a call, send her an email, and she will be happy to set up a time for any of the public to come in and have any discussions that she would like or they would like to have. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Hi.
Hi, Inga.
On the safety note, we have those door blocks things so that I don't have to go outside to lock the door. I keep it locked all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it has a little rubber buffer that keeps it from closing all the way. I'm right next to the playground, so I was kind of worried about noise, but it actually closes well enough that the noise isn't a problem. And in the event that that I need to lock down, I just have to slip that over and shut it the rest of the way. I don't have to stick my head out there and
can you
say,
hold on
hey,
yes, please. I do want to hear it.
No, the one call I get in 6 months, and it's going to
you paid to do that, Frank.
Yeah.
I think you do this to me on purpose, Mr. Crocker.
No, I do.
And then also, in the event that you have anybody who would like to see what a lockdown is like, my children beg for lockdown time, actually, so we would be happy to show them what a kindergarten lockdown class looks like.
I think you just found a candidate, and I'm anxious to see the old metal door that latch you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Come
visit.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so the reason that I stand up to talk to you today with my MUTA hat back on is because you have an item on the agenda. I understand it's being pulled now. But it was quite distressful for me. Your public hearing item under educational services, the explanation in the background sounds great, although it does not say anything about consulting with the association. That would be nice to be added in there. The problem is that none of that really happened. And the first I heard about this was yesterday when my vice president, who is also the curriculum committee chair, for our association, found it on this agenda and read it to us. I wrote to Ms. Tate today and asked if I could have a list of the people who are on this committee. She sent me a lengthy list. Two of those people were present at the meeting that I was in yesterday where we were all going, this didn't happen. And one of them, not being able to be here today, asked me to read a statement to you. This is from Susan Roger. She says, I was surprised to learn that I'm listed as one of the stakeholders involved over the last year and a half in recommending secondary intervention materials for Tier 3 learners. That's in quotes. I was even more surprised when I read the board agenda and found that I apparently applied to be on the formal committee with a recommendation from my principal and interviewed the publisher and reviewed materials with students and community stakeholders. Special education middle school teachers were told last year that since Flex was part of the Wonders K-6 adoption, we could give it a try at the intermediate level, as we had no adopted intervention curriculum. It's my understanding from my colleague at Yuba Gardens, who teaches ELD, that she will be given the Flex curriculum in a few weeks from now to try. She hasn't even seen it yet. We have not met as a committee. We did not apply to be on a committee. We were offered a voluntary troubleshooting session with a publishing rep and did not make a recommendation on whether or not to adopt. I wasn't even asked. We were not shown any other intervention materials from any other publishers. My understanding of my use of the Flex program this school year is that it was a stopgap measure until intermediate materials were adopted. My colleague at McKinney, Nolan Torres, also listed as a member on this committee, was similarly using the curriculum as better than nothing, and as we have had nothing to compare it to, cannot say that we recommend it as the best available curriculum. I have in the past applied to be on and served on two different adoption committees for this district and take that job seriously, knowing that I'm helping recommend material that affects many stakeholders. I was not on a 6-8 ELA-ELD intervention materials recommendation committee and do not believe such a committee was actually formed. I'm floored. I look at this on the agenda and I think, okay, maybe that's a copy and paste from some other adoption. I spoke briefly with Ms. Tate this evening, and she said that this has been pulled from your agenda tonight, and that she now wants to work with us, and we're gonna set up meeting dates, and apparently there's other curriculum coming through, social studies, math, science, I think she said. Several different things are coming up. So we'll be having regular meetings, which is good. this long into the time that we've had a demand to consult on curriculum, the importance of teachers being involved deeply in this process, I can't understand how this happened. And it frightens me. And I'm hoping that it won't happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Units. Public comments. Comments are limited to the maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per Board Bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with exception of clarifying questions. So we have one public comment. Melissa Overmine.
My name is Melissa Overmeyer, and I am from Paragon Collegiate Academy, the Falcons after-school program director. At Paragon, our mission is to educate the whole child. Academics is one of our highest priorities, however, it is not the only one. We instill the six pillars of character counts: trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and citizenship. Here are a few examples of how we practice these values at Paragon. Each year, our students cut and tie fleece blankets for our local senior citizen home. This year, they provided 89 blankets to warm the laps of the elderly. During Thanksgiving, we fed over 400 meals to local families. And during the Christmas season, we sponsored 8 families in need. We provided meals and gifts to spread the magic of Christmas. And one family even received a Christmas tree. As the program director and a parent, it warms my heart to see the joy on the kids' faces when they experience the joy and the power of giving. Our Falcons program is similar to your ACEs and your STARS after school programs. At this time, Paragon does not qualify for state after school program funding. Paragon students and families are fortunate to have a board of directors that made a decision to fund 100% of the program's costs, which is paid out of the general fund. The Falcons after school program costs an average of $120,000 per year, which is offered to our families at no cost. Our families are made aware that our program is a privilege and not a right. Participation in the after-school program is earned every single day. For example, attendance, academics, and behavior are some of the factors that earn a student their privileges. Our latest addition to our program is competitive sports. We have completed our girls and boys basketball seasons. I think as you heard on McKinney's slideshow there, they competed against them. We are currently in the process of forming our track team to compete in the upcoming season. We also plan on introducing volleyball and soccer during our upcoming 2018-19 school year. During our first season of the sports program, we have found that competitive sports is that carrot that some students need to increase their proficiency levels. The results that we've seen from one student in particular were shown in the quarterly MAP assessment. So one of our students grew one whole proficiency level, which was really neat to see. Lastly, please allow me to share the other enrichment clubs that are offered at Paragon: cooking, science, recorders, keyboard, guitar, technology, team building, art, drama, theatrical choir, and sewing club. With your permission, I would like to leave you with a gift from our sewing club.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Mrs. Cotney. Some of you guys might know Mrs. Cotney, our principal.
Yes, hi.
She has a gift for each of you. I would like to thank you guys for your time and the opportunity to share all of the exciting things that we offer at our Falcons After School program. I invite you to visit our campus at any time so you can see just firsthand how awesome
it is.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you,
very
guys.
Nice
and
to you.
Have a fantastic evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen. This afternoon, I was able to go out and meet with the South Lyndhurst High School WASC committee, and certainly David Jones and his staff have pulled out all the stops. Very impressive display of all of their curriculum and their work that they've been doing, their PBIS activities, and I think they're going to get an amazing review come Wednesday afternoon. I would like to thank Kathy Woods and Tom Russer for being here and for serving on cabinet the last couple of months and coming to our board meetings. Siobhan, I would thank her, but she's at a WASC review. She's actually one of the panel members. So although our schools have WASC come to review them, our staff actually go and serve on the panel so they get a deeper knowledge of what it is the committees are looking for when they come to evaluate our schools. So with that, I would like to say thank you, and that's the end of my report.
So this is the last night that Kathy and Tom get to come?
Unless you'd like to ask them to come every single meeting between now and the end of the evening.
Well,
good girl.
Yeah. That's contagious. Well,
just want to say thank you also for coming and giving up your time. Next, we'll have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of February 13/18. Is there any corrections or amendments to the minutes? If there's not, we'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Second. Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any? Okay, we have one abstention, Mr. Boom. Six yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. We would like to begin with pulling a couple items on page 10 and page 11. Under educational services, we're going to pull number one, 6 through 8. That's new business. So sorry. Thank you. Is there any other items anyone would like to pull off?
I would like to pull personnel services, please.
What page are we on there, Mr. Fleury?
Number 7.
Okay.
And which item, Mr. Fleury?
Which item, buddy?
Number 2. Okay. And number 6.
Number 2. Okay, so we have two items pulled under personnel services, number 2, classified employment, and number 6, classified resignations. Is there any other items that would like to be pulled? If there's no items to be pulled, we'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve consent.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. So let's go to page 7, personnel services, number 2, classified employment. Mr. Fleury?
Yes, I noticed that Teresa is being promoted, and I told her that she's done such a good job, I was going to pull it and vote a no. I just wanted to say that Teresa has been in our district for many years, and Number three. She's done a great job. No matter where she goes, she does an amazing job, and she's going to be an asset in the new job that she is. She's got one of those rare employees that has a heart for kids, for people wherever she goes, and I just want that for the record, that she's really going to be good where she goes, and she is an amazing individual, one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life. So I wanted that to say, and with that, I will make a motion to approve it.
Okay, so we're, no, so let's, back. So we may need to go, what,
yeah.
No, the consent's looking for some direction here.
The consent's already been done that one, so we need to still vote on number 2,
number
being that was the one that was pulled.
Because that was pulled, you're right.
Okay. So number three was already approved. So perfect. Now we need that's to good. Go back for number two. Is there a motion to approve number two under personnel services?
Make.
Ms. Scott motions to approve classified employees number two. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Crawford. All in favor?
Aye.
Seven yes. Okay, so now we have personnel services number six, classified resignation on page eight. Mr. Fleury?
Yes, I was in reading this because you know we have Scott Lane on here tonight. And I just wanted to say when I read this, and I knew it was coming, that Scott has done an amazing job as a transportation director. I have been here with all of the transportation directors before we unified. And Scott, you're the best that I've ever seen that have worked with that, and you're a hard act to follow. You wrote grants. You've saved us many thousands of dollars in the grant writing that you did. And you're going to be missed for the job that you did in transportation. I wanted that on the record also.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. We'll entertain a motion for personnel services number six.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Fleury made a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Crawford. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Seven yes. So let's just make sure, Dr. Todd, are we all clear on the consent agenda, or is there anything else we need to do?
We're good.
Okay.
Golden.
So, moving on to new business, page nine, personnel services. Resolution 2017-18/15, elimination of classified staff due to the elimination of particular kinds of service. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Good evening to everyone. Unfortunately, while it does appear to be an annual occurrence, this certainly is more germane to unknowns, particularly categorical funding, and ultimately also in the event of repurposing services for students. So to that end, we have before you this resolution to consider the elimination of particular kinds of service relating to classified staff. We have considered and will continue to vet out all possible bumping opportunities and situations where employees may have return rights to former positions, but more importantly, as is required by law, ask for consideration in approving this resolution and to ensure that we meet the statutory timelines of the notifications. Over the course of several years, that notification timeline has increased from 30 days to 45 days and now 60 calendar days. And again, in order to be in compliance, we certainly want to make sure that every employee is given every opportunity to seek employment elsewhere, hopefully not the case, but certainly as funding and budgeting constraints are alleviated, then we can bring them back as quickly as we can. So with that, we ask the board to approve the resolution as presented. If there are any questions, I'd be willing to field the questions. Yes, they are bits and pieces. They are most of those are less than a full 8 hour or one FTE full-time equivalent. They have to be presented in terms of FTEs, but the total number there does impact quite a few people. And to be quite honest, when it comes time to notice folks that might be in the zone of a bumping situation, there might be closer to about 140 people that will be impacted. As soon as and as quickly as we know, certainly we'll notify those folks that they have positions. This does require time in that we are required to negotiate the impacts of a layoff. But to the extent that we want to notify employees according to the timelines, and then also subsequently notify them that they have future employment as soon as budgets are well established and also services are re-implemented. These are classified employees. I'm sorry, say again. To the extent that yard duties folks are also now regular employees, there are some sites that have a combination of paid employees and also teachers that still like to and share those duties. But for all intents and purposes, the expectation is that yard duty folks will remain. Right now, there is a hodgepodge of funding sources. So once those are established and a lot more settled, then the sites will know when to bring them back.
I would like to just remind all board members, please be sure your mic is on and turn and talk into the microphone to make sure we're going to have it on the recording. Thank you.
Yeah, earlier I don't.
Is there any other discussion on the item? If there's no discussion, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2017-18/15.
Motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seven yes. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we had six yes, one no. No was Mr. Allison. Item number one, Board of Trustees. Resolution 2017-18/17, excuse board members' attendance at the meeting of the Board of Trustees. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution to pay Mr. Boom for a missed board meeting on February 13, 2018. Any discussion?
I'll move to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Oh, wait, I didn't want to raise my hand. One, two, three, four, five yes. Any no's? One no. And one abstention.
There's a
Okay. Educational services number one on page 10 will be pulled and re-agendized at a later date. Educational services number two on page 11 will be pulled. And again, re-agendized at a later date. So, I guess we're all the way to page 12. Okay, business services. Number one, we have a resolution 2017-18/18, energy conservation services findings and solar energy power purchase agreement with SunPower Corporation. And this is going to be changed to a informational item for discussion only.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. There's a long lead time in getting these to the board. It takes a 14-day notice to comply with federal bits of ed code. And so in order to do that, we had to sort of take some leaps of faith that we'd be able to hammer out some of the nuances. And we got to where we're really, really close, but it just makes more sense to bring this as an informational item this time, and we'll bring it back shortly as a final product for board approval. So I did want to talk a little bit about it, that this is a power purchase agreement, and it is unique from other solar projects where you would typically purchase solar panels, finance them in some way or other. And that is, from a strict business point of view, that would typically generate more of a savings. However, there's some risk involved in that. A power purchase agreement is, I think, a better deal for a school district. And in this particular case, SunPower has agreed to come in and they will set up three separate sites, at Foothill, here outside in the parking lot there by the district office next to, or between us and Marysville, and then over next to the football field at Lyndhurst. And these will be, for the two school sites, long solar arrays that will pivot and track the sun, and they can produce a tremendous amount of power. In fact, we estimate it to be enough to take care of the electrical requirements of 11 of our sites. We were able to go ahead and do this, get grandfathered prior to the end of the year, so that also increased our savings tremendously. What this does for us is we currently, when you take the amalgam of all the rates we pay, it runs, I was just pulling out here this earlier today, we pay anywhere from 21 cents to 11.8 cents per kilowatt hour, depending on whether it's winter or summer and peak and what have you. The amalgam of all of those equates to somewhere around 15 cents per kilowatt hour. SunPower, in exchange for doing all this, our deal is that we will buy the power that it produces from them, and we'll buy it for the next 25 years at a fixed rate that will not go up during the term for 9.9 cents. And so pretty great deal, I think, for all concerned. No outlay to the district, no obligation to the district other than to buy power at a lower rate than we're paying right now. At the end of the period, they would come out and either take it out, we could renegotiate it, or we can buy it out, and that'll be something that a quarter century from now we can address. But there's essentially, as I see, very, very, very little risk to the district, which I think makes us very attractive. We have a pro forma included in your board packet, but for the record, in year one, we're estimating that'd be about $231,000 in savings. And over the life of it, if you talk total dollars, it's $7.3 million. But as a finance guy, we take everything back into current year dollars, sort of deflate that. And that ends up being $4.9 million of expected savings right now. And then lastly, one thing that I really liked about this particular proposal is it comes with a guarantee. And guarantees, if you buy something, I guess they are what they're worth. In this case, I didn't think we needed a guarantee, because if it doesn't produce power, SunPower doesn't get any money. So of course they're going to come out and make the thing work. But even better, if it doesn't produce what their projections say, then they actually pay us back, with the logic being that we're going to budget based on 9.9 cents. If they're not producing as advertised and we're paying PG&E back at 15, they will pay us that difference for what 95% of what they said they would produce less what they actually produce. So with that, we do have Mr. Scott Schumacher from SunPower here. He's way smarter than I, especially on matters of solar. And so if the board had any questions, we'd turn it over to him.
What was his name?
Scott Schumacher.
Okay. Scott, I had heard that the president was considering, because these panels are made in China, to charge, yeah, the President of the United States, excuse me, I about should have mentioned that. I mean, is there a sense of urgency? That's my whole point to getting this done. Is there going to be more of a cost when they're not going to be made in China? They have to be made here. Will that be tacked on at a later date? Okay, thank you. I probably should mention President Trump. Not that he could make a mistake.
So there would be no increase.
Thank you very much. That's it.
Your company is not related to. No, that's correct. I can say
Can you turn your microphone on?
Mr. Allison, we need to turn this, pull the switch towards you.
Oh, it was on all the time.
There you go.
Okay, so anyways, I've had solar power at my house for, gosh, over a decade. And our power bill went from $700 a month, because it's all electric house, down to about $700 a year. So I'm all for this. The one question I have, though, is at Foothill, I'm noticing these arrays that you're putting in. I mean, it almost covers 3 acres. And I was just wondering, are they down low on the ground? Can the area underneath them be used, like the ones that you over at the Yuba County offices? What's going to happen?
Yeah, so two things. One of the things, if you look at the array layout at Foothill, one of the interesting things there is that we're going to propose to utilize a state program. It's got the abbreviation of RES-ET, the Renewable Energy Self-Generation Bill Credit Transfer Program. And what that allows public agencies and school districts to do is install a single system in one location, and then to use the credits that are generated by the system to offset other schools within the district. The net result of that is we're able to put in one system at Foothill and then offset 11 other schools. So that's why that system is so large. The answer to your question then directly is that area is going to be fenced off because there are actually the panels are going to be facing east in the morning and then facing west in the evening to maximize the capture of the electricity from the sun. The parts are going to be moving there. There is going to be an inverter that's going to convert the DC electricity to AC. And all of that, we want to make sure that no members of the public can ever be there. They're going to be housed about 5 feet off of the ground.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of usable space there after taking all these things into consideration.
I just know how hot it gets at Foothill out there, and shade would be really appreciated.
Yeah,
and you're taking all those trees out. So.
Yeah.
That they don't use that area anyway, so.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's probably, for Marysville High School and district office here, for example, we're proposing to put in a carport system so that the shade of the cars here, one of the benefits of putting in that tracker system is that they go in for a very low cost for a maximum amount of energy produced. So while you won't get the full benefit of shade,
thank you. Is there any other questions or discussion?
I have one quick question.
Sure.
Is there some kind of a guarantee of the panel efficiency over the life of the contract?
Yes, there is. So that there actually, there's a first and foremost a guarantee. And the guarantee says that panels will not decrease in efficiency by more than 0.25% per year. So by the end of 20 years, less than 10% per 0.25%. And yes, so SunPower is going to be responsible for maintaining. That's going to include coming out in Washington, that has to run off the panels 2 times a year. Basic system maintenance, and also any kind of as needed maintenance. If something were to go out, we will roll our trucks from Richmond to California, and have this person up here to take care of whatever as needed maintenance needs to take place. So, yeah, there would be no additional MNO costs for the district to maintain the system through the 25-year warranty.
Any other questions or discussion? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
So we have, in closing, Mr. Fleury.
I'm going to close in two memories. One is Joe Redd, who was a former bus driver for Marysville Unified many years ago, but he was memorable that he often went above and beyond his job to serve students and in the transportation department. The second one is for Ty Ledbetter, the student who was hit by the train last week, and the funeral was Saturday, and the comments made to him by the students were outstanding. he was just one of those individuals that went out of his way to bring people together. And so this was both of our, well, I'd like to close in their memory.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fleury. Meeting adjourned.